It's a false choice. Either you have privacy or you have health. As citizens, we should expect both.
Welcome to The Evaluator, a podcast by the Independent Evaluation Unit, IEU, of the Green Climate Fund, GCF, the world's largest multilateral climate fund. The IEU aims to conduct evaluations that will help make the GCF faster, smarter, and better. We are committed to collecting and producing high-quality evidence to inform policymaking within the GCF and broader international climate finance arena, leading to better outcomes on the climate action front. The Evaluator brings you compelling insights on cutting-edge topics related to evaluation, climate action, and development, featuring experts from across the globe, as well as from within the IEU. Today's episode is hosted by me, Iben Yod, from the IEU. This is our second episode featuring Dr. Uni Karunakara. Dr. Karunakara worked as the international president of Doctors Without Borders from 2010 to 2013. He has also taught at Yonsei University and Tsinghua University and is an assistant clinical professor of public health at Yale. In this podcast, he discusses the implications of COVID-19 for governance and the new normal we should be moving towards. First, a few words from Dr. Karunakara about a term we're suddenly hearing everywhere, lockdown.
So one thing about lockdowns, you've heard the word lockdown a lot. Lockdown is a very blunt instrument. Very often countries employ lockdown because they are not able to ramp up testing to the level that is required to be able to trace patients and to sort of contain them. So you have, like, India is going through the largest ever lockdown the world has ever seen. And then, of course, you have the consequence of that is that there are a lot of people who've lost livelihoods, who are not able to even get food, and they have to rely on handouts if that is available. So the social consequences of this is going to play out.
Dr. Karunakara argues that there's a common denominator for societies that have been able to weather this crisis better than others. And he says one thing is crucial for governments in this situation: teamwork.
You can't do it alone. And also it's teamwork because you need global solidarity, but much more importantly, the government, the people in charge have to work together with the population. Now, in all of the countries that they are able to bring this under control, there is a certain trust that the communities have in their government. So they're much more likely to accept policies and abide by it, while, let's say, in a country like UK and Holland, etc., they actually sort of reject it to some extent. They say, we can, you know, we are intelligent people, we can make up our own mind. While in all of these countries, they trusted their government enough to abide by the policies that were put in place. And the other thing is transparency. And in order for trust to happen, you need transparency.
Countries have taken very different approaches in dealing with the coronavirus. Despite warnings from the WHO that closing borders would interfere unnecessarily with international trade and travel, many countries have introduced measures to limit the movement of people. But Dr. Karunakara says that countries cannot address the virus on their own.
You know, borders don't matter anymore. It's ironic that, you know, virus very easily crosses borders, but yet our response is all about strengthening borders. And I think for some reason, policymakers refuse to realize that that's not going to help. You have to have a global response.
A lot of the measures introduced by governments around the world rely on technology to do so-called contact tracing. And some countries have introduced symptom tracking apps that people download to their phones on a voluntary or, in some cases, mandatory basis. This has raised questions like, to what extent efforts to mitigate the spread of the disease should trump citizens' right to privacy?
So there are several questions you can ask here. So first of all, it's a false choice. Either you have privacy or you have health. As citizens, we should expect both. So it's not a choice. Now, the question is how you sort of balance it. So there's these set of principles called the Syracuse principles. This is, you know, the ethical principles that guide pandemic response, outbreak response, etc. So Article 25 of Syracuse principles allows for suspension of personal liberty, personal rights in times of grave or public health sort of emergencies. But it also puts a lot of responsibility on the state to ensure that those rights that have been temporarily suspended are done in a sensitive way and done and then are restored as soon as the emergency is over. So that's key, right? A lot of these technologies that are put in place will be very, very difficult to roll back. So it remains a big concern. Again, I want to underline that we shouldn't get into the whole mindset it's a choice between privacy or health. We should have both, right? So we should demand both from policymakers.
Even countries that are dealing relatively well with the pandemic are struggling with the question of how to proceed from here. What does the future hold for the way we organize our societies? Here is Dr. Karnakara with some food for thought.
The important thing, of course, is we have to, how do we come out of it? Are we going back to normal? And normal implies, are we going back to the situation we were in? And this is something that an organization like Green Climate Fund should start thinking about. Maybe this is the time to nudge how people come back, or how people perceive what normal should be, and how you put policies in place so that they can get to a new normal that is earth-friendly, climate-friendly, etc. So one of the things that you've probably heard a lot is wildlife. And what happens is we will see outbreaks like this more and more, because we are encroaching into animal space. And every now and then when we encroach into animal space, what happens is a virus skips from the animal cycle to the human cycle. Sometimes nothing happens, but sometimes you have COVID-19, right? So there's no predicting what can happen. So that is also very important. We have to sort of, our relationship with animal spaces, forests, etc., we have to really start thinking about it. And we have to look at how meat is consumed. And it's not just wet markets in China. If you look at how meat is produced in the United States, that's also problematic. Factory production of meat is also something that we need to start thinking about. So we have to really rethink our relationship to other species on the planet, but also to the forests and you know, animal ecosystems. The other thing is we have to start, we need a new kind of economy. So a lot of stimulus packages are now, all countries have stimulus packages for businesses. This is the time for Green Climate Fund and other advocates to sort of engage and ensure that these stimulus packages are greening the economy rather than acting against it. Because the problem could be that when you bounce back, it could bounce back in a way that is much worse for the economy. So this is an opportunity for GCF to insert itself in economic discussions, policy discussions, and make sure that all of the packages are considering green, they have green considerations. And then we need an economy that is more inclusive, caring, ethical, etc. These are, you know, we keep talking about it, but it's very difficult to realize, because we have consistently in the last century put profit above people, and that has its consequences. I was listening to Noam Chomsky earlier today, and this was the point he was making. This is a predictable consequence of how we've structured our society and economy.
So rethinking our relationship with other species and greening our economies is what we need. But Dr. Karnakara was also asked about his own expectations for this new normal. What will new normal realistically look like?
Yeah, it's very hard to predict. I have a sort of, wish for that this is a wake-up call for all of us, and then we will adopt personal and societal sort of attitudes that are respectful of each other and respectful towards the planet, right? That's what I would wish for, but I don't think so. I think the leadership that we have today is unable to think, with some exceptions, unable to think inclusively. We govern by dividing people. Even in times of pandemic, when we need to come together, we are blaming each other for our problems. So I'm not very optimistic. So I think New Zealand is a good example, which the Prime Minister has shown really great leadership. And if we can take lessons from New Zealand and Iceland and Korea and state of Kerala, where I come from, I think we will already have made great strides in sort of resetting our direction in a more positive direction.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Evaluator by the Independent Evaluation Unit of the Green Climate Fund. We'll be back with more insights that matter for the evaluation and climate action communities. So stay tuned.